From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's a bombastic blogcast for Tuesday, November 26th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. All right, what do you say we get things started officially with...
The Daily Datagram.
You betcha. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets, you get to make the call. Says here, a computer is almost human, except that it doesn't blame its mistakes on another computer. Yeah, very true. Although, that's quickly changing with artificial intelligence.
Where's the Tylenol?
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, yeah.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Exciting.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Sorta.
You might be quizzed.
Sorta not. All right, kids, it was on this day. In 1917, the National Hockey League was formed with the Montreal Canadiens, Montreal Wanderers, Ottawa Senators, Quebec Bulldogs, and Toronto Arenas as its first teams. One of the first official measures was the assignment of a league dentist. And it was on this day in 1942, Casablanca. The classic movie starring Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman premiered in New York City. Immediately afterwards, sales of fedoras and cigarettes skyrocketed. And to this day, still a great movie.
Round up the usual suspects.
He's looking at you, kid.
I'm one of those people who wants to see Dr. Anthony Fauci prosecuted. I think the man should be in jail. He's been stealing money from the taxpayers. An enormous amount of money. The man is wealthy. He's being paid for being a quack. Now, I was complaining about that man back when the COVID-19 epidemic, I guess you call it. Well, it was I still call it a plandemic. I think it was planned. I'm not going to get back into that right now. But from the very beginning, I thought Anthony Fauci was a quack. Even said so on these blogcasts. And what really brought that out in me was his advice that we all wear masks. At one point, he even suggested that we wear a couple of them. And my common sense kicked in because breathing in your own exhaust, your CO2, is not good for you. And you don't need to be a scientist to understand this. In fact, I accused him of having a BS, an MS, and a PhD. Bold, more still, and piled higher and deeper. So I just found this article from an outfit called Natural News, read it, and it made all the sense in the world to me. Because in this article, they say that 4 years ago, most people had no idea what COVID-19 could bring, and so plenty of common sense, logic, and even scientific basis flew out the window when trying to prevent ourselves from catching it, or worse, dying from it. And we were all lied to about almost everything. But many of us caught on to those lies early on, thank goodness. I was one of them. I'm sure you were too, especially when it came to the vaccines and the mask wearing. I mean, those vaccines came on way too quickly. There was no testing. It was panic. We were in a panic worldwide. Not just our country. The entire world was in a panic. And people were getting stuff injected into them that they had no business getting in there. First off, you simply can't breathe properly with a COVID mask on of any kind. And there's plenty of science. We're talking over 150 studies to back up the many bad health outcomes that come from wearing a COVID face diaper regularly. Now, pay it forward. Pay it forward 4 years now, and some germophobic fanatics are still wearing their COVID face diapers 24/7, 365. Saw one at Walmart the other day. And they're doing this even when they're alone in the car or walking outside alone. It's insanity on top of insanity. But you see it all around you every day. These folks never read real science about the dangers of wearing these masks all the time. For instance, not only do the masks breed bacteria in the mouth, throat, and lungs, but they limit proper oxygen intake while recycling what you already breathed in and used. And this is very bad. I was bitching about this 4 or 5 years ago. You can't be doing this. Okay, it was 4 years ago. I was very vocal about it. And there were a lot of people just like me, a lot of us, who were trying to speak out on social media, and we were getting censored. There were doctors who tried to speak out about it, nurses who tried to speak out about it, and they were losing their jobs. And it was an effort by the government that did this. Oxygen deprivation, which is also known as hypoxia, can come on slowly over time, leading to quite a few of the horrific health outcomes that the COVID jabs also create. No wonder so many Democrats and liberals are suffering from Trump derangement syndrome, because most of them are still wearing their COVID masks. Whether you got the N95, the cheap China-made toxic ones, or you made one yourself from a scarf or a bandana, one thing they all have in common: you're breathing in your own carbon dioxide. And this has several effects. It's toxic, leading to initial symptoms of headaches, drowsiness, and acidic blood. Then comes the brain fog, anxiety, memory loss, bacterial infections, lowered cognition, and then eventually cancer and respiratory acidosis. Lastly, lowered immune function kicks in, makes you more susceptible to the very thing you were hoping to stave off, infectious disease. How ironic. The CO2 literally acts as an asphyxiant, displacing oxygen in the air. I knew this, which is why I started speaking out against it. But then again, there weren't enough listeners to this blogcast to make a worldwide impact. And yet every time I tried to write something about it on Facebook, it got censored. It got kicked back. I got the notice, the little red notice from Facebook. Now, here's the thing that really angers me about this whole thing. Fauci knew this from the beginning. He took the stance that he did because of his ego. I knew this man was a quack and a phony when I saw that photo spread on him in Vogue magazine, where he was sitting in the director's chair, poolside with his sunglasses on. That phony son of a bitch. Now, feeling shortness of breath and a rapid heart rate, that could be the effects of the mask and the COVID clot shots. Here comes that rapid breathing again and the restlessness, coughing and wheezing. You might start feeling dizzy and need to sit down. As they say, take a mask break. Only I would recommend that if you do, take that mask break forever. Pull that stupid mask off your face. Oxygen deprivation mask syndrome, or ODMS, after 4 years is kicking in full gear and all the mask wearers are suffering big time. Let's dial it all the way back, do a rewind, back to April of 2020 when the World Health Organization recommended masks for sick people and healthcare workers, not for everyone else. Then, 2 months later, they switched their tune and recommended everyone wear one, 24/7, 365, without any science to back it up. In fact, the science goes completely the opposite direction. Randomized trials did not show a clear reduction in respiratory viral infection from wearing masks. Not surgical masks, nor N95s. And that's because the holes in the masks are much larger than the viral particles, so it's like a basketball flying through a hula hoop. The pandemic hype was off the charts, and the whole China flu scamdemic turned out to be fear-based propaganda meant to control the masses and kill off several million people. It worked. The theory that I go along with, though, is the one that Egyptian-American stock trader, he published it on YouTube. I doubt that it's still there. But he said, look, I don't have any evidence to back this up, but I believe that the plandemic was started by the Chinese intentionally as revenge for the trade deal that Donald Trump worked out with them. And that makes all the sense in the world to me. It really does. When I saw that video, I said, oh, slapped my forehead with the palm of my hand. And I said, yep, that's it right there. Now, by 2021, research revealed that prolonged use of COVID masks causes up to 20% loss of oxygen. Did you get that? 20% loss of oxygen, leading to hypoxia and hypercapnia. Hypercapnia is excessive carbon dioxide in the bloodstream. Children's brains were affected, especially during the developmental years. Fetal and embryonic development was decimated from pregnant mothers who wore their face diapers all day, putting themselves at high risk for developing ODMS. Now, this gets even better because research out of Brown University found kids who wear a mask all day at school suffer brain damage and declines in their IQ. Add some fluoridated water and some Fauci clot shots, and what have you got? Boy, I'd call that critical mass. Or critical mask. Mask-related changes in respiratory physiology do bodily harm to blood gases, decreasing oxygen while increasing CO2. And this causes detriment to the organ systems and metabolic processes, impacting physical and psychological well-being. You understand that? In other words, it's slow torture, and it affects everyone who wears a mask regularly, especially for 4 long years, which can result in permanent neurological damage and irreversible brain damage. Now, do I get any pleasure in being able to say that, well, I told you so all these years ago. You knew it too. That's why you stopped wearing your mask. But what about all the people in your life who didn't? And they fell for this baloney. Back when I lived in my old neighborhood in Sugar Land, almost every day I used to see this man drive by in his Lexus SUV. Only person in his vehicle, and he was wearing a stupid mask. Fear. Fear generated by a political agenda and fostered by an egomaniac by the name of Dr. Anthony Fauci has sickened permanently millions of people. Over the weekend, a new poll from YouGov/CBS News found that a solid majority of Americans approve of President-elect Trump's transition efforts. And respondents also expressed positive opinions of Trump's cabinet nominees, including those who've been targeted by intense smear campaigns from left-wing lawmakers and mainstream media outlets. Of course, we knew this was going to happen, so this is no surprise. We knew the mainstream media and certain squeaky wheels within the Democrat Party and the far left, of course, were going to object. So you just ignore them. Ignore the mainstream media. If you want to sleep better at night, if you want to be in a better mood during your workday, the way you do that is you ignore the mainstream media. Shut it off. Cancel your subscriptions to the Washington Post or the New York Times. I mean, this is ridiculous. These people are all throwing a temper tantrum, and you know it. So, YouGov, which is generally graded as a left-leaning pollster, found that Trump's second term is off to a good start, as his transition efforts have gotten support from a majority of Americans and near unanimous support among Republican voters. Yeah, we're a happy bunch these days, aren't we? In total, 59% of respondents expressed a positive opinion of Trump's plans for a second administration, while just 41% disapprove. Now, when asked about overall feelings on Trump's victory, 31% of respondents said they're happy, while 21% said they're satisfied, resulting in a net positive in support for the president-elect. An additional 23% expressed dissatisfaction, while 21% of respondents said they're angry. But then again, those are the people who are always angry. They would have been angry if Kamala Harris had won. They would have been angry because not everybody voted for her, you know. I've discussed on a number of occasions the psychological difference between conservatives and these leftists. I don't want to call these leftists liberals because I don't believe they're liberals. They want to control your speech. They want to censor you. They want to control your freedoms. That is not liberalism. If I'm going to look at a true-to-form liberal, I would look at somebody like Bill Maher. And even Bill Maher is starting to become a little more open-minded regarding Trump. He doesn't like Trump. He's not going to like Trump. He didn't vote for Trump. But I don't believe that he voted for Kamala Harris either. So, you know, and there are a lot of people like Bill Maher out there. But when you look at the track record here of the Trump administration so far, he brought on RFK Jr., who was a presidential candidate on the Democrat ticket. Well, not the Democrat ticket, an independent ticket. Okay. He came on as an independent, but he was from a Democrat mold. He's now in the Trump administration. And then, of course, Tulsi Gabbard, which right there, I think is should be the wake-up call for people who have been straddling the fence. Tulsi Gabbard, who's absolutely brilliant. She's being derided by Tammy Duckworth. I don't know if you know who Tammy Duckworth is. I forgot what state she represents, but she's one of those shrill, squeaky wheel Democrats. And she's afraid that Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian agent, which of course is bullcorn. Plus, she claimed that Tulsi doesn't have the experience necessary to handle classified information. Bullcorn. She's a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve. She's a career officer. All right. So you have to combat a lot of this stuff. But here again, going into this YouGov poll, again, YouGov is generally left-leaning. Now, in terms of party registration, 54% of Republican respondents are excited by Trump's victory, while an additional 41% are optimistic. Just 5% expressed a negative opinion. Imagine that. I haven't felt this good since Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980. The poll also found that Trump's re-election makes 10% of Democrat respondents motivated to support his second term. Now, there's a very interesting aspect to this poll, isn't it? Now, as for Trump's individual cabinet picks, YouGov measured support from a majority of respondents for every candidate polled, with the exception of U.S. Representative Matt Gaetz. Now, you know the story about him. He's already withdrawn. He's out of the picture. Now, Senator Marco Rubio was found to be the most popular among Trump's nominees. 46% of respondents strongly or somewhat approve of that nomination, while just 30% expressed a negative opinion. An additional 23% stated that they don't have enough information to make a call. Understandable. That's a common theme among the five nominees who were polled. Now, RFK Jr. is the most well-known, and just 16% of the respondents weren't sure. So, Kennedy slightly trailed Rubio in terms of approval with a net positive rating of 12 percentage points. A total of 48% of respondents expressed a positive opinion of the HHS nominee, the highest raw total among the five nominees polled. Come on. It's not a partisan issue. It was easy to see early on that RFK Jr. is very passionate about this vaccine stuff. And I think he had more supporters among conservatives than he did among leftists. Hence, he is now on our side. And yes, that's how I look at it. It's an our side, their side thing. I mean, let's be honest, shall we? Now, I'm not one of those who says you're either with us or against us. I think that's one of the most asinine things ever uttered by GWB. But I understand where that came from at the time. I just think that, you know, continue to be nice, continue to reason with these people. You will be surprised at the results. Eventually, they will come over. I was amazed at how many people came over and indicated that they were coming over as long ago as a year ago. How many people felt they were hornswaggled into voting for Joe Biden? So these are very positive results. I like it. Interesting to see. Respondents also expressed a net positive opinion of Director of National Intelligence nominee, my lady, Tulsi Gabbard. I think she's awesome. She garnered support from 42% of respondents, compared with 33% who said the opposite. And we had a rather important number of respondents, 23%, that indicated they were unsure. So in other words, they can be convinced. As for Defense Secretary nominee, old Pete Hegseth, which I think was an excellent choice, a total of 38% of respondents expressed a positive opinion, while 34% expressed a negative one. You know, like Gabbard, a significant number of respondents, 28%, remain unsure. Now, the positive marks for Gabbard and Hegseth come as they've been targeted with relentless, highly coordinated smear campaigns from left-wing lawmakers and pundits. Said entities have pushed a bogus sexual assault allegation against Pete. If you want to know more about that in real detail, go to YouTube and look up Megyn Kelly's podcasts. She's got one in there where she explains what happened with Pete Hegseth and this woman and where the allegation really stands when it comes to truth. She's got the truth. Just look her up, Megyn Kelly. Now, this incident was investigated and was found to be without merit by police. And that happened almost immediately. That happened back at the time. And of course, lawmakers, including Tammy Duckworth, I guess especially Tammy Duckworth, have slandered Gabbard as a Russian asset. Lord knows Hillary Clinton has. But Hillary Clinton's not. She is no longer an elected official. So she could just sit down and shut up as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, you've got other lawmakers slandering Gabbard as a Russian asset due to her opposition to these endless wars. Is Tucker Carlson a Russian asset? Is Donald Trump a Russian asset? You talk to them over there on that side, and yeah, they'll say, oh yeah, they're Russian assets. Russia has nothing to do with this. Nothing whatsoever. I am a 4-year Air Force veteran from the Vietnam era, and I am sick and tired of endless wars. They are endless. I thought Vietnam was endless. I was actually, back in 1972, seriously considering reenlisting into the Air Force, except Vietnam was still going. And I told the recruiter on the base, I said, you know, I would seriously consider this. The $10,000 bonus, reenlistment bonus you're throwing at me sounds so good. I could use a new car. And in those days, I could have bought a new car and still had money left over. But the Vietnam thing was still going. And we thought that was a long engagement. Afghanistan went even longer. And now with this Ukraine thing, that Ukraine thing, that was going to be fairly quick. We were going to get that resolved. Yeah, we're still there. A couple of years now. How many more years do we have ahead of us in this Ukraine mess? War. All-out war is not an option. It used to be. That changed back in 1945 with two atomic explosions over Japan to end a war that looked like it was going to go on forever. That changed everything. All-out war is no longer an option. Let Donald Trump handle this. Yeah, I really haven't felt this good since Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980. Gee whiz, I remember how good that felt. I felt like a weight had been lifted off of our shoulders. So I'm feeling that way again with Donald Trump. We need the man back in the White House. Everybody knows that. And his nominee, Attorney General or former Attorney General Pam Bondi from Florida, for AG, man, this is great. Because he made it clear, Trump made this clear last year, that if he were to return to the White House, she would work to eliminate the deep state from the Department of Justice and ensure accountability. Now, her nomination as U.S. Attorney General sends a pretty clear signal that the Justice Department is going to undergo a seismic shift in its priorities with a renewed focus on accountability for those who, Bondi says, have weaponized the justice system for political gain. We've all seen this. This hasn't been some clandestine operation. We have witnessed this for the last 4 years, this weaponization. In 2023, Bondi didn't mince words in her appearance on Fox News following Trump's fourth indictment. She said, when Republicans take back the White House, you know what's going to happen? The Department of Justice, the prosecutors will be prosecuted, the bad ones. The investigators will be investigated because the deep state, last term for President Trump, they were hiding in the shadows, but now they have a spotlight on them and they can all be investigated. Oh, and you can bet they will. You can bet they will. They have to be. Because if this country of ours is going to survive, if this republic, you know, it's not just the survival of the country. The country will survive in one form or another. But we have to ensure, you and I, have to ensure that this fragile thing known as our republic has to survive. Survive first. And once we've pulled off the survival, we have to ensure that it thrives and that it prospers. Now, when I say prospers, I'm not making reference to monetary riches. When I'm talking about our republic prospering, I mean the republic itself, the concept, the belief in our republic. Who was it, Ben Franklin, after the signing of the Constitution? He was asked, what do you have? He said, you have a republic, if you can keep it. And it can be argued that this republic of ours has been an on-again, off-again thing over the years, with Woodrow Wilson probably doing the most to destroy our republic. If you really dig into your history, you will find that Woodrow Wilson was one of the worst presidents throughout American history. Jimmy Carter was bad. Barack Obama was bad. Joe Biden was terrible. But even those names can't hold a candle to Woodrow Wilson. Read up on Woodrow Wilson. You will find out what a god-awful president he was. He's the one who turned this country into a socialist, a loose socialist form of government. Got our government involved into all kinds of things government has no business being involved in. We're going to head back over to the Comedy Corner and the return of Kellen Erskine.
I think the one thing that every couple on this planet has in common is that one of you believes expiration dates. The other one, totally fine risking everyone's life to save $3. You kidding? They're crackers. We could afford a fresh box. Just found out the kind of bananas that go into banana bread. That's terrifying. I have no idea. Walked into the kitchen. My wife is holding just the blackest, wettest clump. I was like, did you pull those out of the garbage? If someone actually made banana bread out of fresh bananas, it would probably be the best tasting food in history. We'll never know. For some reason, we're all fine with trash bread. Here's the proof it's not great. No one ever plans on making banana bread. It's a recipe invented in a hurry by a hoarder. Just stop buying so many bananas. It's like the moment you all enter the grocery store, you forget they have a shelf life of 23 minutes. It's counterproductive. People will buy a bunch of bananas to get healthy and then procrastinate and just make dessert. We don't do that with anything else. No one ever opens the fridge like, oh, the strawberries are all moldy. Guess we have to bake a pie. Went to Chick-fil-A when I was done ordering. The cashier said, would you also like to buy a cookie? Have the money go to a local charity. And I said, no, I'll just buy the cookie. You should try it. Just for the dopamine rush of making a very nice stranger go, what? The thing is, I already give to charity. I don't need a treat at the end. Who is that for? Who's on the fence about it? Walking into a fast food place like, I've thought about donating, but what's in it for me?
Make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.